Okay, Glenn. Okay, we're good to go. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your presence in the house, Lord, that you've given us to ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear what you have to say to us today, Father. So thankful for the word that leads us and guides us into all truth, for your word is truth, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Last week's message was pursued by love, saved by grace, followed by mercy. Wow. So we talked about, just kind of review a little bit, we talked about last week how that God is on a relentless pursuit of us because of his great love that he has for us. Even before we were born, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. The pursuit started then. He was on the pursuit of those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior yet. How many times have you looked back on your life before you got saved and realized, wow, you may not have known it then or realized it then, but now that you can look back, you can say, God was protecting me. He was looking out for me even then. And then he's on the pursuit of those who have not yet accepted him as Savior yet. He is on the pursuit of those, which Luke 19:10 tells us, the Son of Man has come to what? To seek, to pursue out, to seek out and to give to life to those who are lost. And for, even for those who have strayed from the path of following God, it doesn't mean that you're no longer his child, but sometimes we veer off from the path that God has us on. So he's in constant pursuit of those that have strayed on the path of from the path of following him. Psalm 26 tells us, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. His beauty and his love chases after us every day of our lives. Even for those that have, that now are sons of God, he is still pursuing us and chasing us, even after we're born and saved again. So he is forever drawing us, and the purpose of that is forever drawing us into fellowship with him through this pursuit. Because of his very nature, which is love. You can't have love without God. You can't have God without love, because that's who he is. That's his nature. And he seeks to have an ongoing relationship with us. He created us for his glory. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:1, look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love. That he should lavish, and I love that word lavish, that he has lavished. When I think of lavished, I think of just covering somebody with something, you know. That he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. The completely omnipresent, omniscient God, the self-sufficient God that owns everything, needs nothing, but yet chose us, pursued us, sought us out, and that would be us. Wow. Had no need of anything. He's God all by himself, but he chose us to have fellowship with and to have a relationship with. David said, last week we learned that David said, talked about in Psalm 23, where David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall chase me, shall pursue me all the days of my life. God's goodness is running to overtake you. Wow. The Hebrew word is radaph, which means to pursue. It means to set off after someone in order to catch him. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So his mercy and his goodness is pursuing us, running after us to catch us. Not for our destruction, but in order to bless us and lavish his love out on us. The word pursue, therefore, is an action word. It's an action word. Pursue is action. And it's action that you take upon yourself to do. Because God doesn't make us serve him. He doesn't make us do anything. And we'll talk a little bit more on that area in a minute. But God took upon himself God took upon himself to pursue us by putting in a plan in place, which is called redemption.
Yes. Thank you, God.
The plan of redemption was motivated by what? By the love of God for the fallen race. So full provision has been made for our salvation. Wow. The clearest evidence that we see of this is that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, that we could be saved, that we could be brought back into relationship with him. And catch means to become suddenly aware of, to affect suddenly, to attract and hold. And that is what happens when we are pursued by God and he catches us. At that moment, he holds us. Wow. Yeah. We are suddenly aware of him. And because of his mercy, his goodness, loving kindness shown to us, that's what makes us attracted to him. Because of this. Because of this. And that puts a desire in us to pursue him that so loves us. And that has lavished us with that goodness, that mercy, and that grace. So we become attracted to him because of this. Why will we not want to know someone that pursues us, that is so much for us, and that loves us unconditionally? A lot of you all would not be married to the person you're married to if they had not pursued you. There was a pursuit that took place. And because of that pursuit and they showed their attraction to you, that relationship was developed. Amen? And that's how it is with our relationship with God. He pursues us, and we learn that of his attraction to us. And we get born again, and that excitement and all of that takes place because we've been reconnected back to the one that created us. But what happens, just like in a natural relationship, if you do not continue to pursue that, work on that relationship, then we call it, the flame goes out, and you start looking on the other side. That's another relationship's going to have work too. So it's the same thing with God. Amen? It's a relationship. It's something that we have to work on, that we have to continually pursue. So pursued by love, saved by grace, followed by mercy. We pursue him because he first pursued us. 1 John 4:19 tells us we love him because he first loved us. We love him because what? He first loved us. Psalms 114:2 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understood, dealt wisely, and sought, pursued, followed hard after, chased after God." And what was they doing? What was he doing this for? Inquiring for him and of him and requiring him of vital necessity. Wow. To me, that's somebody that's hungry. That's God saying, wow, they're really hungry for me. They really want me. They really desire me. You know? Looking down from heaven to see if there were any who understood, sought after God, that was required of him. The Lord, you are my vital necessity in living life. I can't live this life without you. Have you ever looked at people and wondered how they live life without God? When they're facing things in life, you're like, oh my. Sought after, seek after, meaning to pursue. God is looking up on the earth to see who is pursuing him, to see who is looking for him, to see who is hungry for him. And then God puts that desire in them to pursue him. And that desire becomes planted in us as God's goodness, as I said, and his love. And we begin to see those things manifest in our life. And we begin to see those things manifested in our life, then that puts that desire in us to pursue him. Paul prayed this prayer for the church in Ephesians 3:18. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious strength. And this is what I want you to hear, that Christ will live in you as you open. That's an action word. That's something you do. That's something you pursue. As you open the door and invite him in. It's God looking over the face of the earth and saying, who is that one that's inviting me into their life? Who is that one that's inviting me into that situation? Who is that one that longs for me to come and take care of that thing for them. Wow. Hallelujah. That is pursuing God. And he goes on to say, and I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. Reach out or pursue and experience this. Experience the breadth of it, the length of it, the depths of it. Rise to heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. And you do that by pursuing him. Catching him. And it's not that God is not wanting to be caught. It's not that God is trying not to be caught or hiding from us. But it's us hungering after him in that pursuit. Amen. Because he wants you to catch him. He wants us to know him. Passion Translation reads this scripture as the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply and intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is, endless beyond measurements, that transcends our understanding. And this is the extravagant love pours into you until you are filled and overflowing with the fullness of God. Wow. Till you are filled with the fullness of God. This is not going to look good, but don't you all look. Keep focus up here. David said in Psalm 63:8, my whole being follows hard after you. There's that word pursue again, that action word. My whole being follows hard after you. And what does it do? It clings closely to you. Your right hand upholds me. Wow. With passion I pursue you and cling to you. Another translation says, why? Because I feel your grip. Because I feel your grip on my life. I keep my soul close to your heart. Wow. My goodness. So why do we seek God? First of all, he has given us an invitation to. He's given us an invitation to come to know him. We're all very familiar with the scripture in Matthew where it talks about Jesus told his disciple, ask, seek, and knock. In doing so, that they would receive God's provision. He said, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. These three words have one thing in common. They're pursuing words. They're words of action. So he said, seek me, and you'll find me. Ask, and I'll give it to you. Knock, and the door will be open to you. So what's he saying? Pursue me by asking. Pursue me by knocking. Pursue me by seeking. Take that action upon yourself. Ask, seek, knock are all words of pursuit. So why do we pursue God? Because there is so much about God that we have yet to learn. You're in a dangerous place when you get to the place that says that I know all about God that I need to know. We should always maintain a teachable spirit and have a willingness to be corrected by the Holy Spirit as deemed necessary or by those over us. That's the way we learn and grow. So we pursue God because there's so much about him that we have yet to learn. And when we cross into the gates, pearly gates, we're still not going to know it all. How deep, how wide is your love, oh God? Wow. The reception of God at conversion, that when we accepted God at the point of salvation, is not the end, but the beginning of the Christian life. It's the beginning of that relationship. It's not the end. When we enter into that relationship, then we are continuing and should be continuing to learn and to grow. Matthew 6:34 says, but seek, amen, and strive for. There's the word pursuing again. Seek, aim, and strive after. First of all, he said, this is the first thing you pursue. All of all is his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. And then all these things will be added unto you. So this is pursuing what is in the kingdom. We know that God is the king of the kingdom. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And where there is king, there is power and authority. So So when we are pursuing the kingdom of God, we are pursuing Him, His way of doing things, the right way of doing things. And He says, all these things taken together will be given you besides that. So this is pursuing is what is in the kingdom, allowing His kingdom, His way of doing things, part of our life now on this earth. Because as I said before, we can go to heaven broke, disgusted, depressed, and everything else. But why should we? He has called us to live life in abundance now. Your addiction and all those things that we're trying to overcome hinders us from living a full life on this earth now. It has nothing to do with our eternal salvation. But when we seek after and strive for the things of the kingdom, He said, all these other things are going to be added to you for you to live life abundantly on this earth now as a victor and in victory. So we now live in the perceptive, in the perspective of that kingdom. In this world, we're not of this world. And when you really think about it, the older you get, the more you realize it's just a short time and how much we should be making a difference with what time we have. So why do we pursue God? To discover His plan for our lives. I have found in my life to quit pursuing the plan, quit trying to find out the purpose, just seek and pursue the planner of life. Because we can get so caught up in the cliches of the church, so to speak. You need to have a plan. You need to get a plan for you. You need to find your purpose and all that. That we forget to seek the planner of life. That we forget to pursue the one that has got the plan. Because if we pursue Him and we catch Him and we have allowed Him to catch us, everything that we need and want to know about is found in that. Just seek, pursue the planner of life, the originator who already knows us before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, knows the purpose. And in doing that, you will just start walking in the purpose and the plan He has for you. It'll come to pass automatically. Why? Because you are pursuing the one that has the plan. He is the great planner. He is the great originator. He is the great organizer of your life. So once we pursue Him and don't get off focus by pursuing everything else the church wants to throw at you sometimes, continue to seek God and everything else in your life will fall into place. Because He wants to be king of your life. He wants to be what? He wants to be Lord of your life. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us very plainly, "For I know the plans that I have for you." So if He knows the plans that He has for us, and He goes on and tells us, then wouldn't it be wise for us to seek Him since He knows the plan? Somebody says, "I've got a plan for you. You need to show up here." You don't show up somewhere else at a different time and try to talk to somebody else about it. But you go to the place that they called you to. So why do we need to pursue God? He keeps us with a fresh revelation of knowing He has us in His grip. So last week I was talking about how do we just think we need God when a crisis arises and we then take Him off the shelf? Or when a crisis happens, we say in the name of Jesus. And that which you have learned in church and Sunday school and what pastors have taught us all these years, what happens when something happens and you are at the point of pursuing God anyway, what happens when that word just begins to rise up within you and you could just start quoting it or you could just start singing that out. Amen. So it keeps, when we're pursuing God, He keeps us with a fresh revelation of knowing that we are in His grip, that He keeps us as apple of His eye, and that no matter what happened in our life, He already knows about it. Church, He already knows about it. So once we can keep that in our focus, then whatever comes our way, whatever may come our way, we'll say, "God, You already knew this was going to happen. You've already got a plan for it to be worked out. And You're going to give me the wisdom how to walk through it and what to do when I need to do it." Amen. Hebrews 13:5 says, "He, God Himself, has said, I will not any way fail you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not. I will not in any degree will you help us nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So when we are pursuing God, what are we saying? We're saying that when that rise, those things come along through life, that scripture's going to rise up. And we're going to be able to say, God, you said that you would not, that you would not, that you would not in no way fail me. And you are not going to fail me now. Never put a yet on something. I've heard some people say, well, God ain't failed me yet. Take that yet away. Because what you're saying, you're talking doubt. You're saying, well, he may not come through for me this time. Take the yet away. So that begins to rise up in you. So we pursue God, and it keeps us with a fresh revelation and a freshness about who God is. That's another reason that we pursue God. So what else do we have? We have pursuing God makes us aware of his faithfulness, his compassion, his mercy in our lives on a daily basis. Why? Because we are pursuing him. We are communicating with him. We have come to know his heart. We have come to learn his voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lamentations 3:1-26 says, this I recall to mind. What did he say? He said, I'm recalling this to mind. And so when I recall this to mind, he says, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because of his compassions, fail not. They are new every morning. So when you get up in the morning, you know you've got that appointment. You know you've got that to do today. What you need to do, you say, Lord, I'm going to recall that I have hope in you. I'm going to recall to my mind. And so therefore, I'm going to have hope. That I'm going to go head on to this. Head on. Not try to avoid it. It's there. And it's not going away. Whatever it is, that's a word for somebody. You've been trying to avoid a situation. You've been trying to figure it out. God says you need to lay it at his feet and hit that thing head on with the Holy Ghost. And he says it. He says when you hit it head on, it's going to break loose and you're going to see the deliverance and the victory that you've been praying about. Amen. So he says, therefore I have hope through the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your what? Your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Your spirit, man, rises up within you, and it begins to tell the flesh what to do. It begins to tell the soul what to think and say. It says, my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him, pursues him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation or the deliverance or the healing or the overcoming salvation of the Lord. Wow. Wait patiently for the Lord. But the ultimate reason why we pursue God is so that we may know him. That we may know him. Pursuing God with anything else outside of this word is not following the truth. But the number one ultimate thing that we do, reason why we pursue God, is so that we may know him. Paul, a faithful servant of the Lord, his desire to know God was so strong that he was able to go through anything for God, even suffering and dying for him. His desire to pursue God in all things was so strong that he was willing to count everything as loss for Christ's sake. And you may be thinking that was a material thing. That wasn't what Paul was talking about. He was talking about his religion that he had before he met Christ. He said, I'm willing to lay that religious stuff down. He said, what was he counting his loss? His self-righteousness, his keeping the law, the religious Pharisee. That's what he was saying. I'm throwing that all away. I'm counting that religious mess as a loss. Some of us was raised in some religious messes. And it's caused us to become more and more in bondage because we did not know about the grace of God. We did not know about the love of God. Amen. And so he says, what was he counting as loss? His own righteousness, keeping the law to the letter. A religious Pharisee. Paul persecuted the Christians, killed them, put them in prison. So he said, I'm going to have to forget all that. I'm going to have to forget all that. I'm going to have to count all that as loss. And he goes on to say the things that hindered him from knowing Christ based on grace. He tells the church in Philippians 3, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, he said, listen, I can tell you a few things. He said, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee as far as zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Then in verse 7 through 11, it gets really good. He said, but whatever form of things I may have gained to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ. Paul was saying, my pursuit before was the living by the letter of the law, but since I became aware of who Jesus is, my pursuit has changed to knowing him. Amen. I no longer pursue the law. I no longer try to live by the law. I no longer try to do those things. He was saying, but since I became aware of him, it's my pursuit to know him. He said, I count everything as lost compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more and more intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving, recognizing, understanding him more fully and more clearly. The only way to do that is by pursuit, by pursuing God and seeking God. For his sake, I've lost everything and considered it all to be mere rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, the anointed one, and that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having my own self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus required, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God which comes from God by saving faith. He said, all that in the past I counted as lost. I tried to do it this way. I tried to do it that way. I thought I was doing good. I'm going to throw that away. I'm going to count it all as loss. For my determined purpose, God, Paul goes on to say, for my determined purpose is this, that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply acquainted with him. I think I just read that, didn't I? It's good. Anyway, I'll read it again. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts over believers. This is probably another translation. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, to his death in the hope, that if possible I may attain to the spiritual moral resurrection that lifts me up out from among the dead even while I'm in this body. So he said, I have one thing in mind, and that is to know him, to progressively know him. And that's how our life should be as a Christian, as sons of God. It's a life of progression. It's a going forward, as we read at the beginning of the service. Moving forward. The righteous move forward. And this was Paul's prayer to the church. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's the ultimate reason that we pursue, or should be, that we pursue God, is to know him, that we may know him. Knowledge in the Bible is an understanding, a recognition, or an acknowledgement. To know something is to perceive it or to be aware of it. We understand that God's desire for us, for all of us, is to know him, appreciate him, and have a relationship with him. For all who are seeking him, he says, I'll give wisdom and I'll give knowledge to those that are seeking me. And when we look through the scriptures, The knowledge of God is the most valuable knowledge a human being can possess. We have a worldly knowledge that doesn't get us very far. But there is a knowledge that God gives that we can see. Not simply just being aware of God's existence. Because a lot of people worships a God. A lot of people know that God exists. They may know about him, but do they know him? There's a big difference. They worship some type of God. They're pursuing some type of God. And everybody's pursuing something. You're pursuing something. But are you truly pursuing the one true God? The knowledge of him that is imparted to us by Holy Spirit must hold deep appreciation and realization of who God is, not just about him. Because you can know about a lot of people, but until you spend time with them, around them, you don't truly know them. So it's who God is in a relationship with him. So for us that are Christians, knowledge implies what? A relationship. We keep going back to that. Relationship. When the Bible says that Adam knew Eve, his wife in Genesis, it means he had a physical union with her. He had a relationship with her. Spiritual relationships are also described the same way. Jesus used the word know to refer to his saving relationship with those that are followers of him. Know me intimately. I read one time that word intimately means into me see. So are you allowing God to be close to you that he can see into you? Or do you keep him off from a distance? He already knows it anyway. John 10:14 says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. He told his disciples in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. He says, you will know this truth and the truth will set you free. So to know Christ is to have faith in him, to follow him, to have a relationship with him, to be loved and to be loved by him. But so many times we hold him off from a distance because we want to relate to him with the love the world has to offer. But his love is for us and not against us. So if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. John 14:7. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And I said that earlier, our relationship with God is to be progressive. We should ever be learning. We should ever be knowing. We should ever be moving forward. And increasing in that knowledge is part of growing up spiritually and maturing in Christ. We shouldn't be going around the same mountain that we were going around a year ago, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. Because if we are, we're not applying the word and allowing that word to work in our lives. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. So to know someone, that's our ultimate goal, is to know him. And we know him. When we begin to know him, we can pursue him as healer, as deliverer, as one that helps us to overcome. Because you're not just pursuing him to be an overcomer, but you're pursuing him. And all those things are found in him. And it's found in a relationship with him. And that will flow out of him and into your lives. And you can be all that God has called you to do and to be. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand this morning. I want to read something that will close out the last couple of teachers that I've done on pursuit, and we're all very familiar with this, but this is what I want to close with today. And by S.M. Lockridge says that in his quote that says, that's my king. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's my king. That's right. And when there's a kingdom, there's a king, and when there's a king, there's the authority. Yes. Amen. And he says, the Bible says that my king is a seven-way king. He's the king of Jews. That's a racial thing. He's the king of Israel. That's a national thing. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of the glory. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Do you know him? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means or measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He is enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of the world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's awesome. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the ages. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Yes. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. And I wonder, do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tired. He sympathizes. He saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards. He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. And I wonder if you know him. Well, my king is the king. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring to wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he is indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hand. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. Woo! The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witness couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Is he your king today? Do you know him or just about him? Because, church, that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. So our pursuit of God is for one thing, and that's to know him. And when you know him, everything that I just read, everything in this book will begin to flow from him into you. And he said, go into all the world and preach this gospel. Amen. These signs are going to follow you that believe. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us of who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your word that is a sure thing. Hallelujah. That you are our King. And that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And when you get on us, Lord, and when you get in us, and when you get on us, we can't shake you off. We find you irresistible. We find you as the lover of our soul, God. And that we long to know you. Oh, Father, that you would put a hunger in us, a spiritual hunger in you, that cannot be satisfied with anything else but to get into your presence and say, Holy Ghost, fill me again. Fill me again, Holy Ghost, that I may never forget where you brought me from and what you've done for me. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you today and we praise you that you are our healer. And because we know you, we can pursue you as our healer. We thank you that you're the way maker. And because we pursue you and who you are, you become our way maker. Every need that we have is supplied because we've come to know you and we know that you supply all of our needs. Oh, thank you, Father God, for that. I speak your blessings upon these people today, God. I thank you that they have found favor in your sight, that what they touched is blessed, God, and that your blessings are running to overtake them in the name of Jesus. I decree healing over their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that every part of their body is healed in the name of Jesus. I come against every sickness and disease that want to latch themselves upon them. I curse it at the very root, and I say to fall off in Jesus' name. Just because it was in your family, you have come into a new family. Amen. Hallelujah. And that generational curse was broken at the cross. And you may be the one that needs to stand up in your family and says, it stops here in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There will be no more drug addicts in this family. There will be no more cancer in this family. Those that have been blinded spiritually, they will see in Jesus' name. Oh, dalatika sandaradadaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, that's above every name of sickness, death, or disease. So that you have come, Lord, to seek and to save that which was lost. And not just those that are not part of your family. But for anything in your life that you have lost, God says to you today that I'm going to restore. Jesus. And I'm going to bring it back. Yes. And it's going to be better than what you had before. Because yes. I'm the God of restoration. Yes. Yes. We call it back in the name of Jesus. Yes. The joy of the Lord is your portion in this season. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word today, Lord. And we stand upon the truth of that word. Oh, that we may hunger for you, that we may desire you, that we may long for you, God. You said that you would never let us go and that you have us in your grip. Hold on to us ever so tightly, God. Hold on to us ever so tightly. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Wow. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Just reach your hands up right now. There's a wave of God's glory. A wave of God's glory sweeping this place right now. Hey, hey, sahataye kehima motala dadaya. Sheyanino koho babababasate isata dadaya. The wave of God's glory. Just receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands and receive that. Wow. Yes, God. Your glory is filling our temples today. Your glory is making way for the new. Your glory is making way for the new. Hallelujah. Some new things coming into your lives this month. There's some new things coming into your life this month. There's growth. Hallelujah. There's a new way, a new way. Hallelujah. There's a newness coming right now in Jesus' name. Growth, growth, growth is coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Shohosate hitaye nadala babasia. Kohomamamamasia da 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 da. Just reach out and receive that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I know you've got places to go and things to do, but for just right now, for a few minutes, just receive that. Receive that in the name of Jesus. A wave of God's glory, a wave of God's glory. Oh, hashala tu kuhuda da la la basia. Yeh, hesia to mama baba basia. Yeh, da di di ano no kuhu, shala di di ano no kuhu baba basia. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let the rain of your spirit fall, Lord. We receive that today from you, Jesus. We receive that today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Set up on us, Lord. Brood over us, Lord, till there's breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bask in your presence, God. We just bask in your presence right now, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. The river of God. The river of God. Amen and amen. You all have a blessed week. Amen.